Good morning.
Good morning.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. It is a joyous day as we remember and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a lot of wonderful things going on the service here this morning. So I'll go ahead and direct your attention to the back of the bulletin. It's very appropriate that today, as we keep the Passover feast in sincerity and truth, that we continue to learn of the sacrament of the altar from Luther's Small Catechism as we've been following our catechumens through their memory work this year. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. Who receives this sacrament worthily? Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared. For the words for you require all hearts to believe. We do have the great joy of receiving the Lord's body and blood on this Easter Sunday. And as we just confessed, Christ's words and institution do require then all hearts to believe. He bids us to be in unity when we come together to receive this blessed meal, not just in what we confess about the supper, but in our whole confession as Christians. Therefore, we ask that all those joining us at the altar this day be members either of this congregation or of a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joining us in that one common Orthodox confession of the Christian faith. I'll turn your attention to the inside of the back cover of the bulletin, where we have a summary of our readings for this Easter Sunday. It's under the heading, Christ's resurrection means that we will one day be raised. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. By the shed blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, eternal death has passed over us. Now we pass with Christ through death into life everlasting. For Christ the crucified one is risen. The stone has been rolled away from the tomb, revealing that the tomb could not hold him. Now our Redeemer lives eternally to save us from sin and Satan and the grave, and we can live in the sure hope of our own bodily resurrection with Christ. After my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, as we hear from St. Job. Feasting on the living Christ, who is our meat and drink indeed, we boldly say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our service this day is Divine Service Setting 3, as it begins on page 184. And the first hymn is also a processional hymn, so in just a moment I will ask you to please stand for the processional cross. May the Lord bless you in the hearing of his word and receiving of his gifts. Almighty God and Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly beseech you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring the same to good effect. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Job chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear saints, just a few days ago we left this sanctuary in solemn darkness and quiet reverence, remembering the victorious death of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the day of resurrection has come. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Today we remember and celebrate the glorious truth that was witnessed by the women at the tomb and confessed by the angel. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. This good news, this truth, should have been a source of great joy and gladness for these first witnesses of Christ's resurrection. Instead, we read that these faithful women were greatly amazed, utterly astonished, and having gone out of the tomb, they fled, for trembling had seized them, and they were beside themselves, and they spoke nothing to no one, for they were frightened. Now, on the one hand, it's hard to blame the women for their reaction. They had witnessed the horrors of Good Friday and were going to what they thought would be a sealed tomb and a dead Jesus. Then, upon arriving, they saw the tomb open, and inside it, an angel of God. I mean, think about it. When was the last time that you had a real-life physical encounter with an angelic messenger from God? But thinking about all of this from where we sit today, we should ask ourselves, why should we be afraid? On this Easter day, we will explore this great truth of Christ's resurrection. The truth and light and life of Christ's victory, it shines away the lies, the darkness, and death of this passing world, living in the reality of Christ's resurrection. That is what we are called to do as God's baptized children, blood-bought subjects of our risen King. So today we will celebrate the glorious truth of Jesus rising from death, and we will contemplate what this means for our lives on this side of paradise. Now, folks, when you've heard good news, you usually share it with someone else. For example, how many social media posts, memes, jokes, pictures, recipes, news stories have you shared with someone this last week or two? Now, I'm not talking about exclusively Christian things here, nor am I meaning that you shared them only by mobile device or computer. You may have shared this news or information by phone or by face-to-face conversation. The truth is, we do this all the time. We're constantly telling people things that we've found out that we think are good or noteworthy. Now, when was the last time that you spoke of Christ's resurrection to someone else? By the way, your friends and family are included in this, even those you came to church with. Oftentimes, well-meaning Christians, they take their zeal and their excitement for evangelism and they make it seem like speaking of Christ's resurrection with somebody who already knows about it is somehow cowardly or lacking, and that is simply not the case. That's not true. Believers and unbelievers alike need to hear of Christ's victory over sin, death, and hell. But let's get back to the question. When was the last time you spoke of Christ's resurrection, or even about going to church with someone else? I'll follow that question with another. Has fear ever influenced your decision to speak about Jesus with others, even family or friends? I'll let those questions just simmer for a little bit because we're going to come back to those. Let's take some time and focus on Jesus' resurrection and how that wonderful truth casts out our fears. When the women came to the tomb and heard that Jesus had risen, they were overwhelmed with emotions of fear, of awe, and of confusion. The Greek text tells us that these strong emotions led to physical reactions, as strong emotions often do. They were physically trembling, and in fear they ran away from the tomb, and they were unable to speak for a time. Now listen to what the angel had told them, and also tells you today. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Do not be alarmed. Another way to translate that would be not amazed. Folks, the resurrection of Jesus should not have been a shock to the women, just as it shouldn't be a shock to us. Multiple times in his life and ministry, Jesus told his disciples that he would be arrested, falsely tried, beaten, and crucified. Then on the third day, he would rise from death. Nevertheless, his disciples did not seem to understand the reality of his word. Do you? Do we? Jesus is risen. That means something. It means everything. It means that you're no longer a slave to sin. Before his crucifixion, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son, capital S, if the Son of God sets you free, you will be free indeed." In his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus set you free from sin. This freedom was given to you personally when God made you his child in holy baptism. Regarding this freedom from sin, and the joy we have as God's redeemed children and as his subjects, St. Paul writes, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Dear saints, when you were baptized, a change occurred. It was not just some spiritual, nice-sounding ceremony. God was actually doing something there because baptism is God's act for you, not your act for God. You were made a new creation in Christ. You became and are a child of God. You were changed from a slave of sin to a slave of righteousness. Now, the sense behind that word slave is that you were bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. By the way, the fruit that you get that leads to sanctification is God's word and holy sacraments. In other words, by these means, God makes you holy. That's what to sanctify means. It means to make holy. God makes you holy by these means. His means of his word, baptism, absolution, and his holy supper. Jesus gives to you his perfect holiness, which leads to eternal life. Do you see it? Knowing this, what do you have to be afraid of? Jesus is risen. Sin, death, and the devil are defeated. They are trampled under his feet. You belong to God. You are literally joined to Christ Jesus in his death and resurrection through baptism. Elsewhere, St. Paul writes this. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It is perhaps St. John who put it most simply when he wrote this. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. The Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. It is his perfect love which casts out fear. Therefore, let us not be afraid, and amazed. All is as Jesus said it would be. He is risen. He is living. Therefore, let us not be afraid of speaking the truth concerning Christ. So, let's put this in everyday terms. Let's say someone whose opinion you value starts trash-talking Christ and Christianity. I won't color in the details of this scenario for you because your life experience can do that for you. Many of you have already lived this, and if you haven't, you will. Chances are you're going to feel all kinds of emotions in that scenario, but rather than getting carried away by emotion, lead with the facts. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day. A brother pastor I know put it very well. He said, Easter is built on facts. The resurrection happened in history. A well-known man, a public figure, was crucified outside of Jerusalem under Roman jurisdiction. Thousands upon thousands knew him. His ministry was public, as were his miracles. He died not in a corner, but in a public spectacle for all to see. He was laid in a tomb, but the tomb, though guarded, was found empty. No body could be found, except for, that's really not quite right, Christ appeared here and there and then in numerous other places. Mary Magdalene grasped him. Thomas felt his wounds. The disciples served him fish, and Jesus served them breakfast. The resurrection depends not on some mystic vision, but on multiple eyewitnesses at various times and various places. Those who vouched for Christ's resurrection, they never got rich off their stories. They never got big book deals or found themselves on easy street. None of them, not one of them, recanted, even upon pain of death. Christ's life, and death, and resurrection is well documented, and not just by some hacks, but in beautiful writings that inspired to this day, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Christ's resurrection is no Joseph Smith mirage or some sort of Muhammad, you'll have to take my word for it sort of thing. So it is. Christ has risen from the dead. And if this is true, and it is, then he means everything. And if you say it's a lie, well, then you've got a lot of explaining to do because the onus is on you to prove it. Perhaps you still like Jesus because you don't want him telling you what to do. Well, he is God, and you are his subject, his creation. Perhaps you don't want what he has to offer. Well, just don't pretend that it's a matter of faith because the resurrection still stands, and we will see Christ again. Dear saints, hear again the preaching of the angel on that first Easter. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. There's no need for alarm, only celebration. There is no need for terror, although holy awe and reverence are always appropriate for Christians of all ages in God's house and when you read his word. He is risen. Only, you see, you cannot see the place where they laid him. We are not in Jerusalem, and we cannot go to Galilee, but there is a place where you will hear his voice and receive his fruits of sanctification which lead to eternal life, just as he has told you. In fact, you're already there. For it is here, in Christ's church, that you will find Jesus, just as he told you. Here, the risen Jesus speaks to you in his holy word. Here, the risen Jesus speaks words of comfort to penitent sinners who are struck by his law. Peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From his pulpit, and from his holy office, he preaches to you and absolves you. Here at his altar, in his table, the risen Lord feeds you his resurrected body and blood under bread and wine. And why? For what purpose would he do such a thing? The forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of faith, and the promise of eternal life. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered, died, and was buried, was raised on the third day. Go tell his disciples. Tell anyone who will listen that the risen Christ is here in his holy church. Here you will see him, hear him, be baptized and absolved by him and fed by him, just as he told you. The truth and light and life of Christ's victory shines away the lies, darkness, and death of this passing world. Therefore, dear saints, don't be afraid. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And that is good news, which is for you and for all people. As God grants you opportunities, share this good news with those who already know it and with those who don't. In his perfect love, you have been washed, forgiven, and fed. And remember, dear Christians, that your risen Lord will return on the last day to take you to his promised paradise, just as he told you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you kept your promise and delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven, and by his rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout this Easter season and all our daily lives, that we may not fear our enemies nor give in to the temptation of despair in our days of trouble. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You have brought us to this new day of hope and joy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hinder the enemies of your gospel, that this Easter message may be proclaimed to all people in every place and bring many to faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless Joseph, our president, and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil, and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially John Mishlick, Pat Taney, Norma Horine, Charlotte Locke, Bob Rash, Chuck Lichty, Lisa Rash, and Ted Phillips. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar. In the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith, overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise your holy name, O Lord, for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We pray that you will not abandon us to Sheol, but that when we awake in the resurrection of all flesh, your presence will give us joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Once again, a blessed Easter to you all. I'm glad you could join us this morning for our wonderful just joy that we have in receiving Christ's word and sacrament, this joy of the resurrection that we have in our risen Lord. Just a brief note, thanks to all who volunteered and offered up dishes and assistance for the breakfast this morning. Give thanks to God for the fellowship that we were able to have there. And a couple of conferences that I want to make you aware of. The first one coming up April 12th to the 13th. That is at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. A little bit of a drive, but I promise you, well worth it. This is the Faith of Our Fathers Conference, the full details of which are there in the bulletin. It is a conference that's both for laity and for pastors, so don't think that these theological conferences are just for all these, you know, seminary graduate pastors or anything like that. There's wonderful things to be learned here about the use of God's law in our lives as Christians today. And then also coming up here in Cole Camp, Missouri, just down south a little bit, the Marriage and Family Conference on April 19th and 20th. This is for husbands, wives, parents, children, widows, single people, everybody. The conference is free. There's no cost to attend. It's taken care of by the congregation and circuit down there, and they will have childcare provided for all ages. So please see the information in the bulletin if you're interested in that. A very timely topic in our culture that has become sadly so confused about something which God has made very simple and very good. Indeed, we even rejoice that Christ Jesus himself is the bridegroom of the church, and that marriage even points to that relationship that he has then between his beloved bride, which is us, all those baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. So we go in peace and in resurrection joy. I'll greet you at the door. I don't know if it's still raining or not, so you'll have to use your own choose your own adventure if it's raining outside there, but God's peace be with you.